Good morning. How many are glad to be in the Lord's house today? Let me see your hands. All right, if you're really glad to be in the Lord's house, stand up. Now, if you are super, super glad to be in the Lord's house, turn to the person on your right and say, I'm so glad to be here. Now, those of you who turn to the right, turn to the person on your left and say, I'm even gladder to be here. And then you can be seated. Thank you. Every once in a while, you just have to do something a little stupid. However, I have made it a lifestyle to do stuff that is a little stupid. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to read verses 44 through 53, and then I have four things I want to share with you out of this particular passage. Here is the circumstances. Jesus has risen from the dead. People have not really recognized who he is. And then one by one, they begin to have their eyes opened. But even the disciples at this point are really not sure. And in the process of this, Jesus finally has to do something that really kind of opens them up a little bit. And this passage is about that. Beginning at verse 44, reading through verse 53, we read this. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. How appropriate that last song the worship team did was to this particular message. Such joy. Such joy. I want you to notice with me these four things out of this passage. I want you to notice the opening. Secondly, the witnessing. Third, the sent. Wait. And then number four, the assembling. So let's look at these four areas as they are proclaimed here. First of all, the opening. Verses 44 and 45, Jesus talks about the fact that, look, the law of Moses and all of the prophets and the Psalms, they've written all of these amazing things about the Messiah. You are privileged to see all of these things take place right before your very eyes. And then that 45th verse says, and he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Can you imagine that? These disciples who had walked with Jesus, these disciples who had seen the amazing miracles that took place, these disciples that were just filled day after day after day with awesome sights, still didn't understand. They didn't get it. It had zipped right over their heads. It had just bypassed them. And now these are guys, remember, these are the guys that walked with him. These are the guys that were gathered together at the tomb when Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. These are the guys that were with him when the little child who was dead was touched. And he said, Tabitha, arise. And she rose. These are the guys who were there when Jesus took and he put his fingers in the ears of the deaf man and popped hearing into their bodies. He is the guy who spit on the ground and took the dust from that, wiped the eyes of the blind, and they were able to see. This is the guy who had taught them from the hilltop, gave them that amazing outline called the Beatitudes, and then elaborated on that message through three whole chapters of the Bible. Literally preached for hours and hours and hours until the people were just famished. And then what did he do? He fed them with almost nothing. I mean, this is the guy that just did all of these amazing things, yet their minds were closed. Their minds were closed. And so Jesus opened their minds so that he could give them a deeper level of understanding. How closed is your mind? How closed is your perception of God, your perception of Jesus Christ, your perception of others, that you don't get it when it comes to who this Jesus really is? I'll tell you, we're seeing it more and more and more in our society. People really don't get it. We have become paganized in our society so much to the point that the minds of the people are closed to the truth of the gospel, to the freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. People's minds are so closed that they take the declarations of God and set them aside and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be me. Because I just got to be me. And their minds become closed and closed and closed and closed. And they really don't get it when it comes to this person of Jesus. And they'll willingly walk in disobedience to God in order to get their way, as opposed to following God in order to get his blessing. And you see, in a way, that's the disciples. In a way, that's where they were. You'll remember that it was after the resurrection. I believe the Gospel of Luke records this. It was after the resurrection the disciples finally realize who he is, that this is truly the Jesus who is risen from the dead. And he goes, and as he meets with the disciples, they go, is now the time when you're going to restore Israel? When you're going to free us from the tyranny of Rome? They'd missed it. They didn't get it. That's why Jesus had to prod and poke their minds so that they would finally get who he is and the purpose for which he came. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ didn't come to give you your way. Jesus Christ came to set you free from your way. And that's his purpose. Allow the Spirit of God to open your mind to absolute truth. Secondly, I want you to notice not only is the opening important, but then notice the witnessing. Look at verses 46 and 47. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You have seen what is to take place here. You are witnesses of this. And because you are witnesses, you are to carry this out into all the world. Guys, you've been blessed. You've been privileged. Now you got to work. Now you've got a job to do so that the rest of the world can know who I am. To know who Jesus Christ really is. And that proclamation comes clear down to you and I. We have a responsibility to carry the word and the message of Jesus Christ out into this world. And we do it by witnessing. Witnessing is very simply telling others what Jesus Christ has done for you. I get tired of people thinking and saying, well, I can't testify. I haven't studied the Bible long enough. I didn't go to a Bible college. I didn't go to a university. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I can't witness. You know what? That's not going to be an excuse. You have been called to be witnesses through your experience in Jesus Christ. As He has touched you, you must tell others. Jesus touched me by saving me from myself. Jesus touched me by raising me out of sin and giving me His Spirit. You are witnesses, and it's your responsibility to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is that the sent, wait. That's S-E-N-T-W-A-I-T. The sent, wait. Look at how Jesus does this, verse 49. He says, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, He's already told them, look, that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in His name to all the nations. In other words, throughout all of the world, the message of this gospel is to go, and you are the witnesses of that. You are the ones who are to go. You are the ones who are to proclaim. You are the ones to bring this forth. You are to be the witnesses. And He says, and behold, I'm sending you forth. And I'm sending the forth the promise of my Father, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the heart and the life of the believer. That's the promise. Go back to John chapter 17, read that through, and Jesus prays for His disciples before the crucifixion. And in the process of that prayer, He says, look, it's good for you that I go away. For if I go away, I'll send another. And the other that I send shall be with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit of promise. The Comforter Himself shall invest Himself in your life. Now that hasn't happened yet. We come down to the time Jesus goes up into the clouds. Hasn't happened yet. And so He is telling them, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. Because that's where it's all got to begin. That's where it's all got to happen. Go back to Jerusalem, and you're going to wait there and wait there and wait there until the power from on high comes. Jesus had a special insight because He was a Jew. He has a special insight, and He's looking at the not just the resurrection, but He's looking at the ascension. He knows that He's going back up to the Father. And so he's thinking, man, I've got to get everybody to turn their TVs to a certain channel. And if I can get everybody to turn their TVs to a certain channel, I'll be able to get the message out. Only one problem. The TV isn't going to be invented for another 1,800 years, 1,900 years, somewhere in that vicinity. And so when He's telling these guys, you better wait, He's not telling them to wait till whoever it is, Edison or whoever it is, invents the television set. No. He knows that in about 40 days, there's going to come a special event. What that special event is there's going to be an assembly of Jews gathered together. And as they are gathered together, they're going to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem from all over the world. And so he's going to have Jews in the city of Jerusalem from everywhere. And so he tells the boys, look, I want you to stay in the city. Wait here. I don't want you getting all broken apart and disassembled yet. I want you to stay in the city until you receive the power from on high. All of the people from all over the world, all of the Jews from all over the world, gather together in the city of Jerusalem. And what happens? But the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost happens. And the Holy Spirit falls. And the Holy Spirit fills that 120 that are in the upper room at that time. And as the Holy Spirit falls and fills those individuals, what do? They begin to rap. They begin to talk about Jesus. Where at? In the streets. To who? The Jews that are from everywhere. In what language? Whatever language those particular Jews happen to speak. That's the amazement of the gift of tongues. It's not a prayer language. It's a communication language. And it's for the purpose of communication, of communicating the gospel to someone in a language that you don't know. That's the miracle of Pentecost. You've got Randy sitting over here who happens to be from Swahili or Swaziland or whatever that land is called. And you've got Andrew over here who speaks the French. I don't have a very good French accent. Most Italians don't. And so what happens, the gentleman who speaks the French begins to speak to Randy in Swahili, and Randy's going, "Ooh, you're nothing but a dumb fisherman. You're one of these guys from Galilee. I am far more advanced. How do you speak to me like that?" That's the miracle of Pentecost. And as Andrew tells Randy about Jesus and the amazing things that have taken place and the glory of the resurrection and the amazing thing that happened with the ascension, and as the Holy Spirit falls and anoints him and he shares with Randy, what does Randy do? He gets saved. And in the process of getting saved, he goes home dancing and singing. And praising God and giving God glory to his fellow Swahilis in Swaziland. And so beginning at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and going out to all of the world goes the message of Jesus Christ. But it depends upon their obedience. Number four. I want you to notice this. Number four. He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They went where? Back to Jerusalem. They went where? Why? That's what they were told to do. It's what Jesus said, right? Because he had already told them in verse 47 that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, the Holy Spirit, but you are to stay in the city, stay in Jerusalem until you're given power from on high, until you're not just handed a little piece of power, till you're clothed with power from on high. Day of Pentecost comes. But before that takes place, we find that the people obeyed God. And they stayed in Jerusalem, but they didn't nap. You know what they did? Verse 53, and were continually in the temple, praising God. Wow. Continually in the temple. You ask people to come for a 45-minute service, and it's like pulling nails. 45 whole minutes! And God forbid we go to the 10:45 service, for crying out loud, that's an hour and 15! I can't do that! These guys went to church daily. And they were happy about it. They were joy-filled. And they were continually in the temple praising God. You know what the literal interpretation of that word praising is? You know what it means to praise God? It means to bless Him. That's what it means. To bless Him. God, we're going to bless you with our praise. I was so pleased with Andrew's prayer to open the service when he asked that our sacrifice of worship would be pleasing, would be a blessing to God. That's what has to happen. You know what? We bless God when we place Him in the right place in our lives, and where we honor Him with our whole heart. Where we follow Him without any question. Where we trust in Him as the ultimate truth. For He is the ultimate truth. Where we obey His word, just like these waited in Jerusalem. Where we rejoice and praise God, just like these who were waiting in Jerusalem. We bless God when we follow Him. Let's stand. Our gracious Lord Jesus, I pray that today we might bless You. That, Lord, that we might bless You with hearts that are holy, with hearts that are hungry for You, not with hearts that are stubborn and resistant, but with hearts that are fully submitted to You. Lord, I pray that we would be people who would be solely submitted to You in such a powerful, passionate way that, Lord, You'd be able to do something through us. And that You'd be able to do something with us. And that we would not be stubbornly resistant to You. But that we would be in the temple praising You. Blessing You. With hearts that are hungry for truth. Lord, make us hungry so You can fill us up. Now, Father, watch over us this day. Give us hope. And we'll give You thanks. For it's in Your awesome and incredible and powerful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have a great day in Jesus.